Welcome and thank you for tuning into episode number 10 of On the Draw. I am Mythic Fishbomb here with Phoenix Forge X.
How's it going, everybody?
And guess who? Indormy.
Hello, guys.
I messed up their placement, so me pointing down didn't make a whole lot of sense there, but that's only for you viewers of the video right now, so it doesn't matter. You guys who are listening don't even care. You don't even know. But we did, however, get some sweet stuff in the past, like, 2 weeks it's been since we've recorded. So we're going to cover that. We got some spoilers for set 2. We got some dates. And lots of spoilers. Mostly the spoilers. We got a lot of spoilers. So the first thing to talk about is set 2 is being released on Tuesday, December 9th. Tentatively, obviously, things could change. It could be a disaster and they move it later, whatever. But as of now, that's the date they're putting it for. With the release events being Friday, December 12th till Monday, December 15th. These launch events will be eight player tournaments with booster draft and sealed, where you get the Darkspire Punisher alternate art, as well as Filthgape alternate art. They're also stating here that on Tuesday, you'll be able to play Shadow Destiny cards in your standard, your constructed queues. Obviously, you won't have any at that point because they're just coming out that day. But if you were to get one, you can go ahead and throw it in a constructed deck and play that day and be next leveling people with your sweet set 2 card you got. So that's sweet.
One of us all day. Just for that day. Just for that day. Throw people off.
They also spoiled the collector's alternate art cards with Genesis Pool Naiad, which is a beautiful, beautiful mermaid, if I've ever seen one myself. And Guardian Angel. What do you guys think of the art for these cards?
I really like the Genesis Pool Naiad, the alternate one. I'm not so hot on the Guardian Angel one.
To be honest, is it copyright infringement if I say Ariel on the podcast? Probably. it looks like Little Mermaid, but whatever. That's old school right there. The Guardian Angel looks fine to me. I mean, it's nothing crazy, but I don't know. I mean, if they're going for, like, a simplistic kind of, like, angelic kind of picture, I mean, it's fine. It's nothing special.
I mean, what it looks to me is, like, you can check the normal arts on the view most over through the names in the article, but...
Yeah, I think that the regular art on the Guardian Angel is better, to be honest.
I think that the regular art is more like I don't want to say low res, but it looks like that way because it seems to be way less computer generated, which may be completely wrong. But it looks like it's more being worked with the watercolors, and the Genesis Pool line looks much more crisp. At least the face and the was the focus of the image. It looks way more crisp and sharp. But the Guardian Angel, I'm not so hot on it because it's... I think it could have been a little bit more sharp. The details on the armor, especially on the legs, are... I don't know. They are a little bit bland, and they mix with each other a little bit when you look to it. Not like they are blurry, but they mix a little bit on my eyes. Same with the feathers on the wing. So I think it could have been just the same art, but... with a little bit more of detail, would have been really, really awesome. But just right now, I think it lacks a little bit of detail. It's also a little bit bland on the colors.
Just hating all over it.
Got some in-depth art analysis there. So what do you think of the actual cards themselves, though? Genesis Pool Naiad is a 2-cost, 1-wild threshold for a 1-1 Troop Fey. You can play an additional resource on each of your turns, so you could... Basically, to play Chlorophylia every turn, essentially. And Guardian Angel is a 6-cost double diamond threshold with a 4-5 flight, Avatar of Salvation. When you draw a card, reveal it and gain health equal to this card's revealed. Oh, the revealed card's cost. Sorry, it was blowing my mind for a second there. Okay, I want to say converted cost. So, you think of the cards themselves?
I think Genesis Pool Naiad is okay. It doesn't. It's fine, but it's not that amazing. I mean, it gives you an additional way to ramp, but it also doesn't give any way of card advantage or anything like that, so it's only good on the first couple of turns of the game, as you are probably not going to have resources in your hand, or more than one resource in your hand. that completely starting a new droid like on turn 4 or 5, unless you are super flooded. It doesn't help you with flooded either, because you are not drawing any extra cards, it's just the card you have in hand. So you draw it, if you can draw it, drop it on the first turn, it can be really good. But aside of that, it's pretty bad pop deck. But we can say it's the same thing of most Monitor, so I think it's fine. It's nothing crazy, but it's fine.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think it's a standard Mana Dork kind of card. You know, it has some synergies with charge powers and things of that nature, but I don't think it's super pushed that way. I think it's just meant to be another ramp kind of card going on. It's going to be fine in draft because, you know, you don't really, you know, having four shards in your opener with one of these isn't bad in draft because, you know, the game's going to be slower and you're going to have time to draw into more threats. So I think it's fine. But once again, you know, not an all-star, but every card can't be an all-star.
I think one interlude is going to be great. I mean, if you can get not two activations, but you can play two extra resources, you're going to pull super ahead from your opponent. But it's also really nice that it ramps resources too. And not resources, charges. But again, you need to have the resources on hand. You cannot keep hands with a few resources because you have these. Not like a normal Monitor, you don't get any additional resources. So it's fine. It can do some real explosive stuff, but it also can be a little bit lackluster. Also, if you get like two copies of this on your opening hand, it's not great. The good thing about it is if you resolve it, you get the extra resource for sure, and you keep priority when you play resources, similar to Wild Root Dancer, which is a great synergy with this card. But again, you are going to run out of resources sooner or later, and when that happens, it's not going to be great. But I can see really explosive stars going like one turn one, whatever, for example, Frontier Roy, for example, whatever. Turn two, this guy, turn three, Wild Root Dancer, and you just get plus four every turn, and you can also activate the charge power and so forth. So that could be really, really good. But again, if you draw a light 3, it's not going to be great.
I mean, you saw this card in a deck like 2-Pact, for example, where they draw a bunch of cards, allow them to get flooded with like having 12 resources in play at all times. It's still fine later on in the game, like when you're going to be using it to just gain life from your Pact of Lives, or which is probably not going to be played anymore when we show another card later on, but that's neither here nor there. But being able to use those resources that you get extra of in your hand to get out of them, it doesn't seem awful to me. Obviously, it's not great late in the game, as most, you know, ramp spells are. Like, Howling Braves are awful late in the game as well. Chlorophyll is to a similar extent. But the ability to go, like, turn 2, this guy, turn 4, Wrathwood Master Moss seems pretty solid, though. I mean, turn 3 Wrathwood Master Moss is pretty nice. Because it also gives you a body, too, which is nice. It's not your typical Chlorophyll. But, again, the lack of actually getting you an extra card or thinning your deck of Chlorophyll does is very relevant.
I mean, I think you can theoretically get to turn 3 Feast again with this one, but I don't know if you can't have enough cards because you need 4 resources plus a Howling Brave plus this plus Brigadon. So that's you need 5 resources, yeah. You need 5 resources, Genesis Pool Naiad, Holding Brave, or another Ramp Spell, and Brigadon. So I think that's 8. So yeah. Maybe I'm doing the math wrong because it's a little bit late. But yeah, Mythic did point out that this card has good synergies. But there's also, I think there was a, I think there hasn't been a lot of fleet spoil, but I think there's a little bit of shoot theme with some humans and so forth, that when you get that gain a charge, they trigger, so this can be very, very powerful with all synergies. But the thing is, I don't remember. I think one of them just made you tap something, which can be really good. So again, if that theme is all over set two, this just becomes much more powerful because of the synergies. In a vacuum, just as a ramp spell, it's a little bit of a cluster. But now that I'm thinking about it, with all the synergies, can be quite powerful. just because of that. But again, the downside is that if you're not drawing extra cards or any way of getting extra resources from your hand, you're going to run out of them sooner or later, and you're not going to be able to trigger it. And you don't really want a 1-1 for two.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things I was just thinking about there is that bot that gets +2/+2 whenever you gain a charge. Like that, like getting +4 every turn off this guy is pretty sweet, but I mean, you're going to run out of resources, like you're saying.
Yeah.
So it does have that downside to it as well. But again, it could be much better than we're giving you credit for, like better than your just average Chlorophylia, which is what it kind of seems like off the top. Obviously, if you have the more resource hands, it's going to be basically better than Chlorophylia then, but in most cases, it's going to be Chlorophylia. It'll probably get killed shortly after that. But still a very sweet card. I like the design of it. I'm always a fan of wild mana dorks, so I accept that. The last card they spoiled here in the update is a one we saw earlier on in Alpha. I think we...
Well, we need to talk about Guardian Angel.
Yeah.
We need to talk about
Guardian Angel's sweet. I mean...
Yeah, it's fine. I think it's super good and limited.
Oh, obviously.
Yeah.
As any flyer... I can see these guys seeing some play.
I could see him seeing some play. I mean, it depends on what the metagame's looking like, but this is fine for like a sideboard plan for a control deck that wants to gain some extra life. I mean, it's fine there. I could see it being fine in something like either a blood diamond control deck on sideboard, or maybe even a diamond sapphire kind of controly kind of deck with a lot of card draw. That seems fine too. But not a lot of copies, obviously. But
the body is really weird because with the current flying troops we have on set one, it has a really really nice body to face them on the air. But looking at set two and the dragons and so forth, it looks a little bit terrible. But we'll see. There's probably going to be way better six drops than these guys.
Yeah.
And there are probably going to be much better ways of playing life.
I mean, 4 toughness is kind of like the sweet spot for most cards. Like, we just got we got the new Crackle that just deals 3 damage to troops or players. So, 4, like, I think we were saying this earlier before. I don't remember because it's been a long time talking before we actually got on here. But 4 toughness is really where you want to be. And this guy having 5 toughness makes it survive battles with other angels, survives a lot. It survives a lot of things. So I do like the 5 toughness too. Again, the dragons, like we're going to see here with Zidu, do just crush over it.
Yeah, the thing is that it's not only the first time you draw a card. It's every time you draw a card, so you can go pretty deep in your deck with Pact of Pain or something like that if you have enough resources.
Yeah.
And if you have a way to get a bunch of stuff in your hand, it can be really, really, really good. But
actually,
So it's looking better than I really right now, because it's whenever you draw a card, so... Yeah, you can probably combo with some stuff.
I'll bring up a combination I just thought of now, later on, once we show the other card that's spoiled later on. Let's talk about Zidu for a little bit here, because we saw this one earlier in... I think it was Alpha, was at the Dragon Dinner thing they had?
Dragon Dinner?
They did a dinner for the Kickstarter people at Gen Con.
For Dragon Lord.
Dragon Lord, that was it.
No, not that.
And this dragon was spoiled at that dinner. They simplified the wording of it. If you looked at the old wording of it, it was basically a book. This one, much shorter, like a paragraph now. So that's nice. So Zidu is a 6-cost, 3 Sapphire Threshold, 5/5 Flight, Troop Dragon. When this troop deals damage to an opposing champion, draw cards equal to the highest cost among other troops other cards you control. So it won't draw 6 because it's other cards. So it won't draw off itself. It'll proc off other troops. So that's,
it reads as other.
Yeah. So I didn't realize that at first. So you'll be drawing a bunch of. If you counter this guy, you probably win the game as long as you have at least a 4-cost guy out there as well. Which I mean, maybe you do, maybe you don't. Either way, it's still a 6-cost 5/5 dragon, which has an upside to it. So that's not a bad thing ever. But yeah, I like the card. Art's sweet as hell.
Yeah, I mean, I think that haste is the sweet spot for this card. If you can put it into play and make it have a haste with Alex or whatever, something like that, and maybe there's other effects that are going to come in set two that give haste as well. I think that's where you're golden, because generally this is going to be a lightning rod. It's just going to get removed as soon as it hits the board if they can remove it. Then obviously if you untap with it and get to attack, you do. way far ahead, so it doesn't probably doesn't even matter. But if you have haste with it, you can wait until they tap out, cast it, get your 5 damage in, draw your cards, and you're at least drawing 3 then. If you have Alex in play. So it's a good card. The other dragons might be a little higher power, maybe. A couple of them.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, the thing with this card is that it's on Sapphire. I didn't read the opposed the other champion, the highest cost of the other cards you control. I didn't read the other because I was thinking it was a little bit stupid with Mastery of Time. Because you basically just combo up, you play this, and then you have Mastery of Time, and then you hit them again, and you probably hit another Mastery of Time, and stuff like that. So you can probably just, chain them out of the game.
You're getting 12 cards deep, so it's probably going to get you at least 2 Mastery of Times.
Yeah, and stuff like that. Or at least a pick, and with the pick you get the Mastery of Time, so you if you get with this guy to attack, you basically won the game on Mono Suffer. Now it is Red Solder, so you need some of the stuff. It's a little bit worse, but I don't know, I can still see it being really good on Mono Sapphire, and if you get hit by this guy, you just lose the game, because they just get extra turns, and you just die.
The original version made copies of the cards in your hand, didn't it?
Yeah, the original version, I don't know what it is, because as you said, it was a but,
yeah, I'm pretty sure it made copies of everything in your hand, which was a really sweet idea, but it would probably just be filthy to actually have, because you could just have counter magic open every turn. In essence.
Yeah, well, what was it? I think this is, you have anything on the board, you can, in Mono Sapphire, you can probably do some really, really nasty stuff with it. But yeah, it's a little bit worse than other dragons, because it's not great by its own. If you have an empty board, it's not fantastic. I mean, you can always top deck something good, and play before you attack, but
I mean,
it goes with other permanents, and most of it does play permanents, but it also plays a lot of tricks, so it doesn't work that well with tricks. Well, Mastery of Time is of course, but what I'm saying is that they don't let you draw cards, but so we may need to go deep into Wild so we can play with the charge power of Wild to run in cards with the Squirrel.
I think saying it's not very good with an empty board state is unfair. I mean, it's still a 6-cost 5/5 flyer. Like, it's still.
I mean, an empty board on your side of the.
Yeah, the upside part of it.
It's not going to start. Yeah, I don't see that this is going to stabilize you as the other dragons that we're probably going to talk about, Sakir and stuff like that. But if you end up with it, you. Even if it's the only card you have in play, you're on a really, really good spot to win the game. This one needs. It's something to trigger the draw card.
I mean, it's definitely no Judgment Dragon, that's for sure.
But that's the wise one.
Judgment Dragon needs to be a thing. That's all I'm saying. We need Judgment Dragon right now.
Kind of. Semi-Judgment Dragon we're going to talk about. Has a Judgment effect.
That's true. It also saved Armageddon Dragon, but saved Armageddon is not it's Armageddon, so.
Void Dragon. Void Dragon. Right. I could just say that.
So on top of those spoilers, we also got a few in last week's, I guess probably 2 weeks ago by the time this comes up. We got a lot of them. We got a lot of, but I was talking about the ones that we got given out through the official channel streamers. This one, the first one we got here, Oberon's Eulogy, is one we saw it in Gen Con, officially spoiled by Havoc. It became a legendary now. And I don't know if we went too in-depth on it, so I want to talk about it a little bit here, because it's a really sweet card. 5-cost, double wild threshold for a constant. When a troop enters play under your control, it gains +1/+1 for each troop in your graveyard. Obviously, we all know when Dormy and I love to have things in our graveyard, then to play around with things in our graveyard, so I like this card quite a bit. I would like it to be 4 as opposed to 5, but I can see why it can't be 4. It's a very powerful effect.
Well, that's the art thing.
Sweet. Like, I can see it.
Aren't the cards that you love, or can't you always say, I wish it was 1-cost less, but, you know.
And drew a card, yeah.
Yeah.
Weird. I love it. I think he's close to unplayable. But that was my first opinion, that it was close to unplayable. Because there have been similar cards in... and they have been close to unplayable. The thing that this one's not for it is that it's permanent. And with all that, the tokens do count as troops in your graveyard, so it can be really, really good with the Shinhearse. As you can play the Battle Hopper and make the Battle Hoppers from your charge power a really big threat if you're getting a 3-3 or a, well, 3-3, a 3-4 or a 4-5 for your charge powers after an extinction. That's really, really powerful. So it can be really good with token generation. But at the same way, it does absolutely nothing when you play it. It's 5 cost, so I like my 5 cost to do stuff.
It doesn't do nothing when you play it, right? Because you
But
play it and then you make a shin here, and then you got boom, big
Yeah,
fatty.
yeah, yeah, but. Well, you got stuff in the
Oh,
graveyard. But yeah.
I'll have stuff in my
On
graveyard.
a,
Don't you
on a,
worry.
without the hero power, I think this is really, really close to unplayable unless you can someone abuse it and build it completely around it. But with the hero powers, it may be much better than we think. That's why it was bumped to legendary and stuff like that. I mean, I can see it being really disgusting on draft, and that's why the reason why it was bumped on rarity. As usually rarity, it's not about the power level, but about their power level and how they influence draft. That if it's a legendary, maybe because if you open this, the experience of your core drafters can be really, really bad and stuff like that, and you don't want even multiples running because it's terrible. It's super, super powerful if you get multiples. So I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's fun.
Yeah, I will hold judgment with of this card a little bit, because I said there's some interactions that we have on Hex that we don't have on any other games, which make the effect much more powerful than it may look.
Yeah, I think that the fact that token creatures that come, token troops that come into play end up going to your graveyard is very relevant with the card, but I do agree that I think five is a little high for it. I mean, obviously you don't want every card to be completely busted, but I think that dropping this on turn four with the ramp is fine. But that, I mean, that kind of means that you want your mana dorks in the graveyard at that point. So I guess you could jump block, but it's not crazy at that point. So I don't know. I mean, I think it's great in draft, but you know, you're opening a legendary,
I mean, it
so.
is a great play after
Yeah.
extinction, but as I said, it's really good. You the extinction, you play this, and you just create a Battle Hopper that it's
Yeah.
whatever, whatever.
But it's fine. I
But
mean, it's I'm not like specifically looking forward to building a deck with the card in mind, but that's fine too.
I think it's got some huge potential. I mean, I've seen a, if you look at the most of the cards for set two, a lot of them are fueled towards beating Extinction, which is what a lot of people are complaining about. Like, this card does well against Extinction. It doesn't beat Extinction, because Extinction still wipes your field away, but does help you recover from it. And that's what a lot of these cards I've seen from set two do pretty well. And I think
Yeah.
that this has a spot because Extinction is a main player in. Also, the amount of removal they have in set one. Like, this card is good because of the just immense amount of removal they have in set one.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that there's a lot of set one hate on set two. Like
Oh yeah.
way, way,
Yeah, no,
way.
it's
Oh
true. It's
yeah.
just funny.
It's really, really exaggerated. The amount of hate that set two has on set one, in addition to the much higher power level that is on set two
Yep.
than from set one. So I think that is going to make a lot of set one close to unplayable.
It's possible.
And we are
I
only
do
going
see that as
to,
well. Like you've
and
seen that also in the prices of cards. A lot of the cards have dropped down in prices because they're like, well, that makes this card awful now, so let's just drop that down. Obviously, there's still like the all stars from set one are still gonna be all stars from set two, but like things like Marble take a little bit of a hit. Obviously, not a huge hit because they're still tremendous, but they still take a bit of a hit because there's a lot more constant hate, and there's constant hate that are on troops, which helps.
yeah, there are a lot of constant
I
removal
think
on this.
that, I think that the power level on set two is gonna make it so set one cards, like you said, the all stars are obviously gonna stick around, but I think it's gonna be more splashing set one into set two for the most part for decks that come out, except for maybe control cards. Because I mean, a lot of the control cards are going to be fine, like counters and stuff like that, because they're not going to print a bunch of counters in set two, obviously. But I think you're going to be splashing
it. I mean, the removal on set one is not going to get... They cannot put much, much more removal on set one. So.
Yeah, they went a little overboard with removal on set one. But for the sake of time, let's jump out of this next card here. My favorite surprise rooster, Succulent Clocodon. A Clocodon is a different thing.
Ooh. Ooh, that's
clock! It's clock!
Yeah. Just say it a bunch more times so you can
clock.
Do the mental sleep.
He's a true bird dinosaur, by the way.
He's a true bird dinosaur. It's a 4-cost double well threshold, also, by the way. It's a 4/4. When it enters play, gain 4 health. When it enters play, battle target opposing troop of with cost 1. That part's not so exciting. The gaining 4 health is pretty sweet, though. I do like that. I'm a big fan of cards like that from the from other games. Also, the art is amazing. He's just like so like looks like he you walked into his nest and took a picture of him. He's like, oh god, what's happening? You gotta take a picture of me. It's awesome. I love it. He's a fat little rooster playing with his baby eggs. Tremendous.
He is quite plump. I will say that. Or C, I guess. I guess it's a C. She's with her eggs. She's quite plump.
He could be defending. Hey, let's not be sexist. This is a anti-sexism podcast, and
sorry.
He could definitely be defending his eggs.
He could. He could. He or she is quite plump.
It.
Whatever.
It's a fatty.
Well, what I was saying is that to me, it looks like the image to me, it looks like it's like he or she is putting eggs because I don't know who puts the eggs in what. And she and just a paparazzi just open the door and just show her putting the eggs. And she's like, oh!
Exactly. Yeah.
Yep. So,
hey, for all we know, Clucodons could be asexual. This could just be.
They could be.
A sexless dinosaur bird. Spitting out eggs.
Bird dinosaur.
Who knows?
Yeah, they reproduce by a force.
But I mean, it's a good card. It's a 4-drop. It's a 4/4. Gains you 4 life. Solid all the way around. The bonus of killing or fighting a 1-drop doesn't really come into play. I mean, worker bots.
Sideboard all the start. It's sideboard.
But yeah, I mean, yeah. If you need to gain life and you're playing a green deck, you can have a couple of these in your sideboard, and it's great.
Someone could next level you though
you
by
know,
playing a.
Someone's right that doesn't like playing against.
If there is a 1-cost 1/1 death touch guy, your opponent could next level you, making you never want to play these guys, but just playing out one of those, like because it has to battle. It doesn't say you may. It says it battles target 1-cost troops. So they could just play that out and be like,
boom,
get clocked. So.
I said
get
that
clocked.
Yeah, that's why I brought it up because I thought of that. Because I was like, oh, that's cool. You can kill some Howling Braves, some Ancestor Chosen. You guys like, yo, or they can just play a Death Touch 1/1 and you just cry.
Yep. They, I really don't want to play this.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
Yeah, it really helps.
Probably my favorite art we've seen from set 2 cards, though.
Really?
Really? More than the Booby Siren?
More than what?
The Booby Siren? Oh, okay. You were so distracted with it, with her boobs that you did.
I mean,
so
she's no Ash Harpy. Let's be real.
I think it's way better than a Harpy.
I'll leave that one alone. Let's go to the next card, though. No, it's Dr. Wrath with Master Moss to Graves. We did see the arc get refreshed, which is nice, though. Nice to see actual what it looks like, but that's sweet. Master Polymorph Diggler, where we spoke about Construction Plans Hornet Bot is a new one they spoiled. Cool for limited, nothing really tremendous.
Pass.
It's a Windray with Convoke.
It's
super playable.
It's very playable and limited, yes, for sure.
Yes.
Not so much Constructed.
It's really. Yeah, I think it's one though. It's a really good common, and you probably want them on your dwarf decks.
Alright, fair enough. Next card we have here though is not necessarily a card per se. It's more of a mossling of Wrathwood. So we actually get to see what it looks like. We were told it was we were told it does this, but now you get to actually see it spoiled officially. So it's a 2/2 for 4 that whenever it deals damage turns it back into Wrathwood Master Moss, which is why that card is my future baby daddy, mother, whatever Wrathwood Master Moss is. I can't tell. I love it for who it is on the inside.
Boss Moss is awesome, and his little buddies is even better. That's all I'm going to say.
The next card we got here is Ingenious Engineer, 3-cost, 2/3. for a dwarf cleric. When a dwarf or robot you control gets exhausted for the first time, you ready it. So it lets you accelerate your bee guys, your wasp creating thing, whatever that was called. I don't remember the name of it. Not that memorable. Your construction plans, your ingenuity engines. It's a sweet card. It's probably not the most playable card in the world, but if you want to get some ingenuity engines going, Ingenious Engineer is your boy.
I mean, you can also make that you can attack with all your stuff, and then you just tap them for the all the stuff, which is also good.
It's great with Vulcan too. Maybe no, it's not good with that.
Not very good with that.
Yeah, it's really good with kind of.
I mean, he's fine. He's a 2/3, so he's got a decent body for a dwarf. I mean, people have been saying it I've been saying it. Set one dwarfs can't block. You can't block with a dwarf stack, which is kind of sad because they're awesome.
Yeah, you get a bunch of guys that you really cannot
stay. They have to stay on board.
I mean, and usually doesn't matter, though, to be fair.
Well, yeah. I mean, but I think you drop this with a Vulcan and out, you're doing some damage. Like, you're doing some serious damage right off the bat.
Yeah, one of the things that is a little bit weird, but is completely on the side because of the potential of just breaking stuff, is that it's only on your turn. Face down on your turn, and it's not the first time on every turn. Because when I read it, I thought it was like that, and it was like, wow. You can do some really, 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 really crazy stuff with it. But yeah, I think there are a bunch of combos with this guy. You probably can go close to infinite with it. Something I just don't have the mind and the research put into it to break it, but I think this is a pretty.
I mean, stuff is something I could in the future sets maybe, because I don't really see much right now aside from Vulcan's interaction. That would be probably an instant win with that card out. In a lot of situations, Vulcan would just win the game with that. But in the future, if they have certain, like, you know, exhaust X troops, draw X cards, you just play a bunch of. Yeah, I mean, obviously that's not going to exist. That's a busted card. I'm just saying off the top of my head, like a card that would be.
I mean, the thing is, I mean, this is a weird synergy, but there's with Replicator's Gambit and Mimic, you can make robot copies, for example. There's a guy that was spoiled, I think, yesterday. We probably are going to talk in, or today, I think. The one that untaps all your resources.
Yeah, that one's coming up later.
Yeah, if you mimic some whale attack, you just get to use it twice. So it becomes really, really powerful and stuff like that.
At that point, though, you should just be mimicking some, or, you know, like either mimicking or gambiting something that's going to win you the turn when you get it back. So.
I mean, no, but I think if you mimic that guy, it makes close to infinite mana for very little resources. Like, because I think that guy costs 3.
We can go into that later. Let's just go into the next card. We can go into how to
play that. What I'm saying is that there are cards and effect that if you make them robots, that they are not actually robots, but if you have the setup to make them robots, because they may be, I don't know, a dwarf guy that when you don't display makes a troop a robot or something like that, because it mechanizes them. So there could be some synergies that they are not apparent because they are not robots, but that can really go with this guy and mimic and stuff like that.
For sure. Alright, well, on to the next card. Savage Lord is a 4-cost double wild threshold for a 3/5 troop Cro-Mag? Oh, Cro-Mag, that makes sense. at the start of your turn, if the top card of your deck is a dinosaur, put it into play. Dinosaur troops you control have speed. And he's riding what looks to be a pack raptor. I'd assume it's a pack raptor at least.
No, it's not a pack raptor.
There are two of them, and they're in a pack because there's two of them. They're raptors.
I think he actually is riding a pack raptor, to be honest. I think that's the whole point of the card, but that's just me.
Yeah.
But how badass do you have to be to tame a raptor to let you sit on its back? Like, that's kind of badass.
Have you seen the Jurassic Park?
I don't know.
I think they are like dogs.
I've totally done it before, though. It's not a big deal. I mean, but we were talking about the dinosaurs that are in set, that are coming into set 2 with Rekosaurus and Clocodon. So he's got some pretty sweet targets there, as well as potentially hitting some pack raptors. It is not awful. I mean, they're pretty bad by themselves, but if you chain together a few pack raptors, it could be really filthy with speed and Swiss Strike and all that. And playing it for free is also not a bad thing either. So I like this card. It may take a few more actually playable dinosaurs to get it to work, but I mean, it does give you free troops, which is never a bad thing. You just need to have a good mass of dinosaurs in your deck to actually fully take advantage of them. But I do like the idea of the card. And again, riding a raptor is pretty sweet, so props.
Yeah, I think this guy is top number one for the for a deck that just kills your super fast out of nowhere with the raptors. I mean, I think the effect is really powerful. I don't like it. I think it's really powerful, but I still don't like it. Because playing stuff from the top of your deck, it's super powerful, but you don't know what's in the top of your deck. So, it's kind of weird.
I think he's great. I mean, I think it's going to be solid for exactly what it says, is build a dinosaur deck. I don't know how competitive it's going to be, but, you know, him with raptors and Cluckodon and whatever other dinosaurs come out. And you get, I mean, you can splash red and play Gorfy's dinosaurs. Could be a thing. Could be a thing. Who knows? We'll have to see. But I think it's a card that says build a special deck around me, which is always cool. I mean, I'm not going to say it's tier one or anything, but it's cool to see that there's those little niche decks that you can build. Like tribal, kind of weird out there, but you know, maybe it's tier two. That'd be kind of cool.
I mean, we know that the one of the dungeons on the, at least on PB, it's giant squirrels versus dinosaurs. So he is probably going to be really good in, if you want to beat the, and help the dinosaurs in that arena.
Yeah,
so.
That's true. All right, well, on to the next card here. This one is Light Reaper's favorite card ever made. Forgotten Monarch, it's a 5-cost, single diamond threshold, stockable major, stockable minor, for 2/2, has -1 in all zones for each different threshold you have. So basically, if you have all 5 thresholds, he's free. Also, can be a 2-cost and a 3-threshold deck, too. He's a very, very powerful card. The ability to now change sockets, which we found out we had, also makes this card tremendously powerful. Even again, in a dual shard deck, this guy is even very playable. Like, he's really, really good. You see 5 and you get a little bit like turned off by it, but
it's never 5.
Yeah, at least 4.
And it's probably always going to be 3.
Yeah, it'll always be 3. Occasionally be free. And if the threshold fixing is as good as it potentially could be with the dual shards, it could even be 2 very often, and have the ability to have very, very high amounts of versatility with the dual thresholds. So I'm really excited about this guy. The art's pretty sweet, too. I don't know what he's doing over his head there. I'm assuming he's doing sort of rain dance.
I think that that's Light Reaper, the necrotic version, and he's just like,
oh, so he's weeping
light.
All
the thresholds.
He's doing. Okay. I can see that, yeah.
But,
this card's really good. So get a major, so get a minor, you can swap them all around. Even if you're not playing the rainbow deck, they are probably really good and worth playing if you're on diamond. Just because you can... They are really, really versatile.
Yeah, he's a toolbox troop. Gotta love that. He can, you know, he's jack of all trades. You know, he's not going to be the number one card in your deck, but he can do what you want him to do. So, you know, post board, you can make him first strike, you can give him flash, you can, there's so many different combinations that you can do with him that I don't see, if you're playing diamond splash something other color or even 2 colors, why wouldn't you be playing at least a couple of these in your sideboard?
I mean, the thing is that, I mean, you cannot play any gem on Indies. You still need the thresholds to play them. So it's more powerful as more colors you play in your deck, as you have more options. But we also don't know if we are getting new gems on set 2, which will be really, really relevant with all these kind of troops. But I still think that Socket will let minor, major for super cheap. I mean, the body is not great, but you can do some really good stuff with it.
I mean, if you're playing Ruby Diamond Wild, you can just make him, he's a 3/3 for 3. give it, you can give the +1/+1 with the spell with the minor gem, give the direct damage, deals 3 damage, it's a 3/3 for 3. That's awesome. Like, that's a solid card.
It's pretty solid.
Yeah, but then you're playing 3 color, yeah.
I mean, I plan on going 3 shards all the time. That's just my plan in life. But
at least 2 colors card is splashing really another color, right? Why? I mean, why not? If the mana supports it.
Yeah, I mean, I can see it ever. I mean, with the, you can put it him on the speed and any of the little damage gems on. For example, if you put insanity with the speed on this guy. And you can pump it on turn 3 when they are tapped out and they don't have a blocker. You just completely wreck them.
Yeah.
For example.
Just a surprise, discard your hand, draw 3 cards. It's pretty solid.
Yeah.
Alright, so let's go into this next card, which, honestly, I know I've said this a few times already, just today. This is probably taking the place of my favorite card in set 2. I think it's actually suppressed Wrath of the Master Maelstrom me. I won't lie to you about it. Bellow of Brigadon is a 4-cost double wild threshold. It's a constant. It's not a troop. I thought it was a troop. Ah, oh, no. My life and dreams are ruined. I still like the card though. I won't lie about it. When you use a charge power, create a dangerous beast and put it into play. It gets +1/+1 for each charge spent. It's a really solid like token troop generation. I thought it was a 4-cost 4/4. I don't know why I thought that. I was so excited about it. I was so excited about it. Still think it's tremendous. Like, I mean, we were talking about before, you play Gazog with it, you make a 2/2 every 2 turns. It's pretty solid. Or if you play Shrine of Prosperity, I mean, that's a 2-cost. You make a 2/2 every turn. So that's pretty solid. The ability to Bladecopter Bunny gets to buff all your dudes as well as make a 5/5. He makes it 6/6 just by making a charge power. So that's really solid as well. Assuming you can stack it correctly, it should be able to stack correctly, but we'll see. I love this card. I like token creation guys, and I like big fatties occasionally, so I'm a fan of it. What do you guys think?
That didn't sound right. I think he's great. I think the constant is great because it's not a heat. Yeah.
It has a troop on it. It looks like it should
be. But the name of the card is the troop. It's the yelling of the troop. It's the bellow of Brigadon. I think he's solid. Like we talked about before, I think he's fine with Gozog in a Diamond Wild deck. Or, I mean, a Blood Wild deck. Great in Bears is perfectly fine with me. And there's plenty of ways to pump troops and everything, so. There's a home for him. I don't know what it is yet, but there's definitely a deck for him.
Stuff that doesn't impact the board when you play it. I mean, still, you need to hold the charges to do this, which can be powerful. I mean, you just play this and then you just get you just use your hero power, and they cannot interact with it, so you can always get a troop out of it. But you're probably, this is really only good on really, really grindy matchups when you're going to use your hero power over and over. And although, I mean, we don't know all the champs, but I mean, getting a 3/3/4/3 every time you use the hero power is pretty nice. I won't deny that. But it also, it's a little bit of meh if you cannot get to that charge power enough and you probably want any other cards in your deck. But again, as we can said, we don't have the full set spoiler, and I don't have them like all the other spoilers around. But there seems to be a sub thing with charge generation and charge power, charge generation, whatever.
Close enough.
And things like that. Yeah, and stuff like that. So it may be really good on that with that synergies. We'll have to see. I think it's not great, but all the cards that seem to be there to support it may make it really, really, really good. I mean, I'm going to say that I think it's fine, and it can be really good with the right support, which seems to be potentially be
magical hex missland.
I'm gonna go ahead and say this.
Combo. Infinite combo.
I take back saying it's my favorite card.
So if you have one of these in play, and you have Monica Shin. And you have necessary. No, it doesn't work. Never mind. That's how quick a bot can just leave. Yeah. But he's fine. I mean, it's, you know, it's a flavor card more than anything, I think. I mean, but there's going to be a spot for him.
Yeah. You can make Infinite Conflict. There's a way that you can sack the 2/4 like 6 mana. Then you tap the 3 thingies to make that give you the charge, the call engine, and then the charge power is to untap the artifact or something like that. Then you can go infinite, but that's out of pips, out of cards. That's still pretty bad.
Our next card is a card you actually can go infinite with, potentially. Sight of the Sun. 3 cost, 1 wild threshold for 1/2, Kyoto Cleric. Exhaust it, replenish replenish your resource points, gain 1 health for each resource gained this way. So, I forgot the combos I was gonna bring up before, because I am dumb. But there's another one, though, so that's good. We got that. With...
Oh, there's a really easy one. Mimic and...
Dwarven Turbine.
Yeah, Dwarven Turbine. You just gain
turbine. No, because you can't ready the Dwarven Turbine. Thought of that too. But you can, however, use this card with Pact of Pain and True Manipulation, and you draw your entire deck. For free. On turn 4. Probably 5, more reasonably. You can go Howling Brave, turn 1, turn 2, this guy, turn 3. Pact of Pain, turn 4, draw your entire deck.
How do you
I forgot the True Manipulation part. There you go. So basically what you'd be doing is you pay 4, draw two cards, you Sight of the Sun to gain those back, you draw 2 more cards, discard 2 cards with Shrewd Manipulation, readying Sight of the Sun, looping it all together.
But you just loot all your whole deck, so you don't actually get any
extra. No, because at some point you're at 4 card, 4, and you just keep doing things. I mean, you don't win that turn, but you basically tutor for whatever you want, right? Like, you just get everything.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
Like, if you don't win after drawing anything you want from your deck, I don't know when you are going to win then, right? But
yeah,
one thing that does change this card from being disgustingly overpowered to being just a very good card is that you can't float resources in Hex. You can't just say, I'm going to, you know, use all these 4... then ready them again with Sight of the Sun, then use all 4 of them again to ramp out to an 8 cost on turn 4. Doesn't change that I still have this card, I think it's really powerful, but it does change the perception of the card from being just completely busted to being just an awesome card.
Yeah, the one health for each resource gained this way. I think we are really looking at something, and I think it should be super easy to get infinite life with this guy. Because it basically makes infinite mana. And he himself makes you gain infinite life, so you only need something that untaps him.
Yeah, I mean, there's got to be the True Manipulation, so I think of the top of my head that lets you untap him.
Yeah, the thing is that there's maybe not now, but it should be super easy to come up with this guy.
Well, with the Dwarven guy, if you mimic him, he can then, the first thing he's ready, he gets to unready again for free, so there's that, but when I open does it, but that's not really that great. Can't think of any other. I can't remember what I was trying to think of before either. That's kind of bad. Let's see.
Yeah, I mean, there's probably made so you cannot. And there's probably some combo, but not super good combo with it. Yeah, to be completely busted. But yeah, I think there's probably it, and we are just overlooking it. But yeah, it's probably going to be really, really, really good.
Yeah, it has the potential to be really, really good in future sets when there's more powerful constants and like looting effects or untaps or bounces or blah, 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 those kind of things. So this card's good for it, so.
I mean, it's also disgusting if he takes late in their game. The only issue is that you need to actually use the resources as Mythic says to use the power. So that's kind of a drawback when in the other games will be not a drawback at all. If you don't have anything to cast, you cannot actually gain life or anything with it. so it looks so much so it looks so much better on it than what it actually does. But I think it's super exploitable. But I think this card has a great design because of what I said in other episodes. A card that looks that reads like super 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 good when it actually is just good, like not overpowered or anything. It's a sign of a really really sweet design.
I mean, I think it's fairly well balanced. I mean, it's still a very, very good effect. So saying it's like perfectly balanced is...
Yeah, but if you think about it, it has a lot of restrictions that you don't think at it at the same time because you are accustomed to the other game, so...
Yeah. I love the card. I think it's really good. I plan on trying to break it as soon as possible. Yeah. I know Mantic's probably doing that at CZ now, so... It's safe to say I'll find a way to destroy this card. But I like it. I like it a lot.
Yeah.
So, next card we have here is the art for Dangerous Beast. Sweet looking. Nothing else to say really about it. I'm going to jump ahead to Zakir here. Zakir is the Ruby Dragon, a 6-cost triple threshold, triple Ruby threshold for a Troop Dragon, 5/5 flight. At start of your turn, create a random Power of Zakir card and put it into your hand. So, the Power of Zakir cards are... Glimpse of Insanity, which is pay 4, void each non-dragon card, which is the Judgment card that Phoenix was talking about before. There's Flame Breath, which is deal 1 damage target champion or troop for each Ruby threshold you have, which is pretty filthy. For 0,
zero.
Yes.
For 0.
also. And the Glimpse of Insanity is also quick action.
Yes. Which is ridiculous.
Eye of Zakir is a 2-cost, 1 Ruby threshold quick action. Draw 3 cards, deal 3 damage to target champion or troop. Fire Servant is a 1-cost 4/1 with speed, swift strike. When this leaves play, deal 4 damage target champion. And Destructive Delirium is destroy each opposing artifact, each opposing champion loses 4 resources for 3-cost basic action. So as if a 6-cost 5/5 flight wasn't good enough, they had to make it so it's just absolutely busted with all the cards they give you to hand. Obviously this card is a giant lightning rod and will probably get murdered or extinctioned as soon as humanly possible.
I know the game saying that.
Yeah, no, almost certainly. If this card's on the field for more than a turn, you're probably just dead.
How hard is it to get 3 Ruby Threshold and 5 Diamond Threshold by turn 6? Or turn 7? So you could play this dude and then cast the Invincible 1 drop and Diamond on him?
I'll rather just play a Stone Spear though.
He's awesome.
You could play Lixels, and you could play Adaptable Infusion Devices, and Shards of Fate, and...
That's horrible.
I mean, I'm just saying, you want...
My idea was horrible, too, though, so... Oh, he's great, though.
Yeah,
he's a dragon.
Yeah,
awesome. It's like when you go trick-or-treating, right? And you reach your hand when you're a kid, and you reach your hand in a bucket, and you grab out the wrong candy, like, you hate it. This dragon is like the candy bag that has nothing but T-bone steaks in it. Like, all of them are good. All of them are good. The troop's good.
Where are you going trick-or-treating? You're good T-bone steaks in trick-or-treating.
Well, I'm saying if I was trick-or-treating now, I wouldn't want candy. I want a T-bone steak. Why wouldn't you?
Fair enough.
But any one of these is great. The resource destruction is great. I mean, obviously, some are going to be better than others in certain spots. So that's a given, and it's random. But... all of them are good. The void's quick action. You get the troop, which is solid because of the swift strike and the added ability on it. And then the land destruction and the other one's great too. I mean, he's awesome. But like you said, I mean, he's probably not living because if he does live, you're probably gonna win the game. So
I think it's really really good. I think the powers may have been a little bit. Not super balanced. I think you could probably lose them if you don't use them in like one turn or later. It is just disgusting. If it, a 5/5 was enough, it also gives you guard advantage on red.
You think it's overkill if you get this guy, get one of the zero drop burn spell card, and
this,
then you scheme that card.
Overkill.
You scheme.
This guy, it's overkill.
I'm joking.
It doesn't matter.
Didn't just scheme from a card in your deck, though?
Is it in your deck?
Scheme.
Is that what
it
reads, or in your hand?
I think it's in your deck.
It's in your deck. You're probably right. Well then,
oh, so you play, you play the card, anyway, so it doesn't Cosmic matter. Totem, and then scheme it. Boom.
There you go.
I mean, you still probably win the game from having a 5/5 dragon out there if they don't kill it anyway.
You just don't attack with it. You just let it sit on the board and chill.
Just for Robins. Okay, they push this card a lot.
Yeah.
Well, let's go into a suit one here. After going from hard and rugged and you're dead now, to go into sweet and cuddly and gift of Yakuza Yuzuken. It's 2-cost double blow threshold basic action. As additional cost to play, sacrifice 3 Shinhair. Put target Shinhair from your graveyard into play. It gets +3/+3, life lethal and life drain. I can't think of many. Thought of one. Moonsoon, that'd be a good one to bring back with this, as though it needs it really. But still, wouldn't hurt to get it back. Even if you're bringing back things like sacrificing Battle Hoppers and bringing back Senseis of the Milky Eye, whatever his name is now, isn't bad. Getting a 4/4 life drain lethal that draws you a card too. Cards are sweet. I mean, I almost missed the Shinhair clause in there at first, but
you need to sacrifice 3 Shinhair though, which is not.
I mean, you're sacrificing 3 Battle Hoppers or 1/1s or whatever to bring back a.
That you need to have on the board. I think that's not.
I mean, it's not the greatest card in the world, but it's a fine card.
I think, I don't know why it's 3. It seems like it'll be like too much. I don't know.
It's 3 because of the
art. It's a pretty powerful effect.
They drew the
art
and that needs to be 3 now.
It's a pretty powerful effect. So I mean, I think 3 is the right number, but it's a card that only fits in one deck. So it's fine.
But I think it only gets 3 cards, and the Shinhairs are not that powerful. I mean, we know that Monsoon is completely busted, but and with Rally with Life Drain, it's super. You cannot win if you cannot kill it on that one turn, but. Because of the 9-point life swing, well, 18-point life swing every turn, but I don't know. Yeah, I think that regarding any other Shinhair, a 4-4 or 5-5 life, a light drain is a good troop. It's not someone to lose 4 cards for it, or 3 cards. 4-for-1 yourself, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's true. It's definitely, you're losing 4 cards for 1, and most of the cards you're bringing back aren't the greatest, but... Still,
also if it is counter, it's super harsh.
I mean, it depends on what you're sacrificing. In theory, you're sacrificing Battle Hoppers. I think that's the point behind it, is you're sacrificing Battle Hoppers.
That's, it shouldn't
matter what you're sacrificing at that point. But in theory and in practice, it's very different things. And a lot of times you're sacrificing, you know, Rituals of Spring Litter and cards you kind of actually want to keep in play. So it seems to be on the surface, could be just awful, but in theory, it's a cool card. Again, in practice, could be very different. But let's go into the next card here.
Yeah, I don't know, but this is silly. The 3 seems,
I'm
weird.
Telling you, they were like, it was sacrifice a Shinhair, get back one from your graveyard, +1/+1. And the guy drew a picture of 3 Shinhair getting sacrificed, and like, well, I guess it's 3 now. And they gave it 3/3, because it worked well, the rule of 3s.
Flavor.
So next card here.
Flavor.
Next card is Samson... lead Ballistics Engineers of 4-cost double ruby threshold for a 4/3 dwarf ranger, non-combat damage dealt by dwarfs and artifacts you control are increased by 1. Card's sweet. I'm not a huge fan of dwarf decks in general, so I'm not really trying to think of ways to break this card that much, but I'm sure it...
Ebony Pound, man.
I'm sure it can be Ebony Pound, and deal 2 every turn. There you getcha.
Yeah, you shrug down every
turn. Yeah, I can get behind that. Card sweet. I know some people are really excited about it. I'm not in that boat per se, but again, I'm not a dwarf guy. I like their beards, but that's about where it ends.
Yeah, the non-combat damage clause is super shitty, but I mean, there's probably some way to make it really, really good.
Yeah, there's going to be some interactions where you can loop things and pump up a bunch of damage, but you know, I mean, Machinist, it works well with a couple other cards. It's not going to completely dominate the game just by dropping him, but it's another dwarf card, which is good because I think dwarfs were underplayed and undervalued in set 1 with good reason, and they're starting to kind of beef up the whole tribal theme of dwarfs, which is always a good thing too.
This next one we have here is the last one we're going to have for the day. It's Canyon Scout. It's a 4-cost diamond threshold for a troop quick Kyoto Rogue for a 3/5 with quick. Well, quick is, I'm assuming it means you can play the quick action. While this troop is in your, is in play or in your hand, you can see opposing underground troops. The fact that you just keep it in your hand and see a tunnel of troops is pretty solid. I like that a lot. I mean, not sure how relevant it's going to be a lot of times, but still a cool effect. It's good to, you know, have ways to see the tunnel of troops and all that. And if it can be played as a quick action, which was what I assume quick means, it probably would stay somewhere that I just didn't see.
Yeah.
Not a bad body to play a quick action speed for a 3/5.
Well, you know what my opinion on these designs. I just like them a lot. Hidden thorns that are not hidden, and your opponent doesn't know that they are not hidden anymore. I just like them a lot. I don't think it's... I don't like the design. It's more of an opinion. It's probably great design or whatever, but I just dislike it a lot. I think that having a one-sided information about some the severity of some stuff, it's... doesn't look good to me.
I think it can cause problems specifically with newer players, because they can just not know that something like that could be happening, and it can make it so somebody can completely dominate the game, and they get fed up and they dump a deck or they stop playing.
Yeah,
or whatever.
It feels really, really shitty. Like, because if, for example, there's another guy that makes you look at the opponent's hand without them knowing. So. Yeah, I don't.
Or do they not know?
I mean, it's funny
because they keep playing Kenyan Scout, and they could know that you know their hand, but you know that they know that you know their hand because you're seeing that they know you have the Kenyan Scout. They're seeing your hand.
Yeah,
and know
I know that this guy and the other guy go hand in hand together, and they reveal each other. But and it's a cute because they are Coyote, which is the Alliance or the Arden or whatever, and the other one is the Underworld, and it's like the opposite design of each other, because one is your hand and the other one is the tunnel, which is where they affect each other. But I really dislike the design of both cards that makes, as I said, hidden zones and non top players that are not hidden anymore. So yeah, it also means that it's, I mean, on computer less, but also it's It lowers the skill of stuff, mostly on paper, because you cannot bluff effectively, because you don't even know if the bluff is it's worth it, because if you know your opponent knows your hand, you can induce some plays from him, and you cannot outsmart him, but if he knows your hand, because you have a mirror behind you, and you don't know about it, it doesn't feel good at all. As I said, I hope that this guy and the other guy are super unplayable, because I don't want to play.
I don't. There's not many tunnel troops that are super playable aside from. I mean, there are a few, but not like there's going to be a tunnel deck. Like, maybe there will be a tunnel like Ruby Blood Haste Speed tunnel deck. I don't know. That's, some people were talking about that back in when we first started seeing the tunnel mechanic, but I don't think it's going to be such a problem. It'll be more relevant in draft.
I think it's gonna be more relevant in draft. Yeah.
I'm not saying it's powerful. I'm saying I do like the design.
I got that.
And I hope it's really bad, so it doesn't see play. But both of them, that's what I want. But they are so bad that they don't see play.
I mean, seeing the opponent's hand one is definitely going to see play. I mean, you tunnel up for two, and you can.
It's gonna
if you're play. Playing the combo deck we were talking about with Archon of Nulzahn,
yeah.
That card will definitely see play in that deck, because you just tunnel up for two, you can know if you can go off or not. Obviously, it only takes two turns. You see your opponents have two turns, so you can know if you can go off within two turns. So it's definitely going to see play for that fact alone, but I do agree. Seeing your opponent's hand without them knowing you're seeing your hand is...
It's a little grimy.
It's a little grimy. I mean, I've done it before. I used to stand behind my opponents all the time when I play them, just so I could see their hand. But I'm also part ghost, so it works out well that way. But that's all we got this week for the spoilers and such. We should be back next week for hopefully talking about what we did on our release
Tuesday.
Weekend.
Tuesday is
the release. This will probably come out about Monday or Tuesday. They may come out while the release is happening.
It's going to come out after Tuesday now.
Yeah, I mean, I shouldn't have said anything. It's going to come out 3 months from now. We're going to just delay the podcast because I found a bug. But thanks for hanging out as always, guys. Have a good night, a pleasant tomorrow for myself, Indormy, and Phoenix Vortex. See you guys next week.